وبركاته. So inshallah this will be our last class for a while. I'll be leaving for Hajj on Saturday inshallah. Bi-idhnillah. Wahid al-Dayyan. And I'll be returning on the 27th. Let's just check the calendar. When will that be, Tadiki? Huh? Haji Siddiq. So the 27th of August will be a Monday. Are we going to have class the next day? Eh? No, I'm leaving. I'll only be back, probably arriving back on the 28th. So our next class will be the 4th of September, inshallah. The 4th of September. I see when we had a break in Ramadan, and it took a while for the people to come back. I know I was sick for 2 weeks as well. I asked Ma for that. But alhamdulillah, we are still busy with Nabiullah Adam. And last week, alhamdulillah, Nabiullah Adam, for the lack of a better term, he got married. We don't know about al-aqd. In fact, somebody asked me, was there aqdun nikah? Was there a contract between Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam? We have absolutely no evidence for that whatsoever. And when did the actual contract of marriage come about? We also don't know that. Allahu a'lam. Allahu a'lam. لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. And we have made for each of you a law and a way. Remember, I always like us to look at the bigger picture of when we speak about Islam. We are talking about an aqidah from Adam all the way to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Immutable, unchangeable. La ilaha illallah. Doesn't change. That is the faith. Millata Ibrahim Hanifa, symbolized by Nabi Ibrahim, the patriarch. Why symbolized by him? Because at one time he was the only believer, and because of his resilience and his resolve and his perseverance, he turned away from the worship of everyone and everything besides Allah. That is where the word Hanif comes from. Hanf al-mail. He turned away all alone from the worship of everyone and everything besides Allah. And he went through so much. You know, they threw him in the fire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to travel all over. He went to Canaan, he went to the land of Egypt. He then had to take his second wife Hajar and go leave her in the desert with his son. And his son grows up, and then he gets commanded to sacrifice his son. So much he went through. So he becomes the symbol of that faith. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed and perfected this deen. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum islam deena. On this day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and chosen for you as your way of life, total submission and surrender to Allah. So Islam, two components: faith and law. The law and the way. So in the time of Nabi Nuh would have been shir'atan wa minhaja. He would have been the law and the way. In fact, the Jews speak about the Noahide law. So there was a law that was given to Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. And there was a law that was given to Nabi Ibrahim, the Abrahamic law. And there was a law that was given to Moses, the Mosaic law. And anybody who believed in La ilaha illallah, shir'atan wa minhaja, and the law and the way of the messenger that was sent to them, would have been regarded as a Muslim. But if a person comes to them and says, well, I believe in La ilaha illallah and I believe Musa Rasulullah, but I stop there, can he be called a Muslim? No. Because he hasn't accepted shir'atan wa minhaja, the law and the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at which junction came the law of nikah from Adam up until when we start reading about the Anbiya having wives, how they went into the contract of nikah, the aqd of nikah with those wives? We don't know when that came about. But there's no talk that Nabi Adam had to sit down and, you know, say qabiltu nikahaha li nafsi bidhalik. Instead, he wakes up one day, in fact we did this last week already, that he woke up and he found Hawa sitting at his feet. And while he'd been asleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken one of his ribs and he had made our mother Hawa out of that rib. And we looked at some ahadith as to why Hawa, لِأَنَّهَا خُلِقَتْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Why Hawa? Hawa with a hamza at the end. Because she's been made from something hay. She's been made from a living thing. And I think we ended last week with the hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, استوسوا بالنساء خيرا. Treat women well. Treat them kindly. Treat them nicely. استوسوا بالنساء خيرا. Let me just get the hadith in front of me here. Treat women nicely. فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ ضَلِعٍ. From a rib. From a rib. وَإِنَّ أَعْوَجَ شَيْءٍ فِي الضَّلِعِ أَعْلَاهُ. And indeed, the most curved portion of the rib is the upper portion. فَإِنْ ذَهَبْتَ تُقَيِّمُهُ كَسَرْتَهُ. And if you try to straighten it, you will break it. وَإِنْ تَرَكْتَهُ لَمْ يَزَلْ أَعْوَجْ. And if you leave it, it will remain curved. Or as some people like to say, crooked. فَاسْتَوْسُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. So treat women nicely. Treat them kindly. هذا لفظ البخاري. This is a hadith that has been compiled or been narrated by Al-Imam al-Bukhari in his compilation of authentic ahadith. And if you remember last week what we spoke about, that one mustn't look upon this as derogatory towards women in any way. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ is speaking about the rib as being crooked. Because people use the word crooked in a derogatory sense. We say if somebody is a thief, we say he's a crook. You know, he's crooked. But it has nothing to do with that. The Prophet ﷺ is telling us here that we must celebrate the nature of a woman. The nature on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created her. Because she's been created differently from the way that a man has been created. They have different attributes. They have different qualities. And in order to treat a woman nicely and to treat her kindly, one must embrace that different, unique nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted her. So alhamdulillah, we're not going to repeat all of that, but that's basically what we spoke about last week, was the creation of our mother, Hawa alayha salam, how Nabi Adam, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the malaika to prostrate themselves before him, and they all prostrated except for Iblis, the jinn. كان من الجن ففسق عن أمر ربي. He was from the jinn, Allah says. He wasn't a malak, he wasn't an angel. Angels can't disobey Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, get out from it. اهبط منها اخرج منها. Those are the two ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اهبط, get down from here, or get down from it, get out from it. And we spoke about the different opinions of the scholars. What is it? Jannah? Which Jannah? The Jannah in heaven of the afterlife, Jannatul Ma'wa, or the Jannah on the dunya? Or is it referring, and this is what I'm inclined towards, it's referring to his station. The high station that Allah had granted him, in that he was worshipping Allah in the assembly of the angels, the archangels. Iblis was worshipping Allah in the assembly of the archangels. So, اِهْبِتْ مِنْهَا اُخْرُجْ مِنْهَا. Well, not necessarily the archangels, but they are referred to as الْمَلَائِكَةِ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. But something also we can take into consideration, that, and we spoke about this, the difference of opinion as to whether all the angels were present or not. Remember that? Don't know if anybody was here when we discussed that. As to whether all the angels were present or not. And the angels, according to some of the scholars, that would have been present, would have been the angels assigned to the dunya and to the affairs of man. The angels assigned to the dunya and to the affairs of man. So, whether Iblis was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the assembly of these malaika, Allahu alam, Allah knows best. But it's something to consider. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, get out from it, it could be referring to the place where he was worshipping Allah in the assembly of those malaika, or it could be because he says, get down from it. Get down from this station, this elevated station that Allah has granted you, O Iblis, to have worshipped Allah in the assembly, in the ranks of the malaika, of the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, after he is cast down from that station, if we take it, and I'm inclined towards that meaning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cast him out of that station, and then Adam finds himself alone in Jannah. We're going to speak about where that Jannah could be. We don't know. We're never going to know on the dunya. But I have some thoughts that I'd like to share with you based on the opinions of the scholars. Based on the opinions of the scholars. I'm not coming with anything new. That Adam finds himself alone in that Jannah. And then he goes to sleep. And Allah takes his rib and creates Hawa. Remember Adam, why is he called Adam? Min Adim al-Ard. Adam, because he's created from the Adim, from the crust of the earth, from the soil of the earth. Adim. Adim al-Ard is the crust of the earth. From all the different colors and textures of soil, clay and dust. That is what our father has been created from. That's why we have all the different colors of mankind. It's one of the signs of Allah. I mean, ayati khalqus samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafu alsinatikum wa alwanikum. And of his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth and the differing of your tongues and the differing of the colors of your skin. Allah. One of the signs of Allah. They say variety in production points towards the singularity of the producer. That's why Al-Imam al-Shafi says one of the greatest proofs for the existence of Allah, waraqatut tut, is the mulberry leaf. The mulberry leaf. The cow eats it, gives you milk. The worm eats it, gives you silk. The bee pollinates it, gives you honey. The sheep eats it, gives you droppings. The deer eats it, gives you musk. So he says, all of this variety from one singular material, it points to the oneness of the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Adam is now given a wife. And in the hadith, that he showed her affection and she showed him affection. That was the purpose. That was the purpose. لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. We spoke about that last week. About the primary purpose of marriage, the primary purpose of and role, if you like, of a wife is to be that place of comfort, of peace, of tranquility for her husband. And then him in turn, when she does that, when she embraces that role of being that comfort. Yes, Allah says it twice in the Quran. Once in the singular. You just get those two verses in front of me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. Where's the ayah? Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. Yeah. أَقُلْنَا يَا أَدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ. Yeah. يَا أَدَمُ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. So once in the singular, look at this. It is Allah. This is in Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. This is in 55 Surah Al-A'raf 189. Allah says, it is He who created you from a single soul, and He made from that soul ja'ala. Use the word ja'ala. In Surah An-Nisa, He says khalaqa. But creating can be from nothing, whereas ja'ala is made from something. If Allah just said khalaqa, then it could have been that He made Hawa from nothing, just like He made Adam alayhi salam out of nothing. And when I say out of nothing, otherwise He made the created the heavens and the earth, and from that earth He made our father. But the difference between khalaqa and ja'ala is that He makes something from something. In other words, Hawa has been made from Adam. Ja'ala minha zawjaha. For what purpose? Liyaskuna ilayha. It is He who created you from a single soul. And then He made ja'ala. He made from it zawjaha, its partner. Why? لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. That He might find repose in her. He might find comfort with her. He might find peace and tranquility with her. Sakana is the opposite of haraka. In fact, for those of you, if you can remember studying in madrasa, you would have had fatha, dhamma and kasra. What do we call these? Harakat. They are moving. Haraka. A, I, U. Ba, bi, bu. Ta, ti, tu. I think the Indonesians, what do they call it? Bawa, deta. Alif, detas, a. Alif, bawa, I. Alif, dapan, u. A, I, u. You see, those are the harakat. Whereas the opposite of a haraka is a sukoon. So haraka is moving. A, I, u. Whereas a sukoon, we say ab, ib, ub, at, it, ut. I'm just giving examples of this. So we are the ba is still, the ta is still, and this is the difference between haraka and sakana. Sakana means to be still. Be calm, to be at peace, to be tranquil. Whereas haraka means to movement. And haraka also has its place in our lives. They say, mal haraka baraka. The Arabs have a saying, with movement comes baraka. That's why we must go out in the morning, we must go move, go look, go work, go trade, go sweat. Mal haraka baraka. Barakallahu li ummati fi bukuriha. Our beloved Prophet says, Allah has blessed my ummah in the early hours of the morning. Why did the ummah say, come, stand up, yalla, slap, yalla, rizik vech. Why? And it's amazing, you know, they didn't know the hadith, but it was true what they were saying. Stand up, don't sleep your rizik away. Because the Prophet said, Allah has blessed my ummah in the early hours of the morning. Make haraka in the morning. Go out in search of your sustenance. But when you come home, now khalas, you've made haraka, you've sweated. Huh? And now what are you looking for? You're looking for stillness. You're looking for peace and tranquility. And who's the one that's going to provide that? Bi-idhnillah? The loving wife. The loving wife. And then he in turn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرْهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat them well. اِسْتَوْسُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. Treat them nicely. خيركم للنساء وأنا خيركم للنساء. The best of you are those who are best to their wives, and I am the best to my wives. So that's how, that's the balance. She performs that task of being the place of sukoon. And the two places, the one is singular referring to Adam, and the other one is plural referring to the rest of us. وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. Speaking only about Adam in this verse. But in the other one, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ. This is plural. And of his signs is that he's created for you from yourselves partners so that you might find repose, that you might find comfort, that you might find peace in them. So not just for Adam. That is the purpose of marriage, full stop. That is the purpose of marriage, full stop. The initial role of partnership, if you like. Obviously, there's more than one purpose to marriage. Procreation is another one. Establishing the family unit, which is the axis around which the entire society revolves. Many aspects. We can carry on speaking about that. But as for the primary purpose of Allah granting Adam a spouse, a partner, a wife, لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا, that he might find comfort with her, peace and tranquility. And then he in turn, as I've indicated in all those ahadith and in the verses in the Quran, that it is the duty of the man then to put that woman that provides him with that comfort, that bears his children, that looks after his home, that protects his honor when he's not there, protecting his name, in other words, that he put her on that pedestal that she rightly deserves. That is the natural order. And that's the balance of Islam. Today, unfortunately, there are some women, there are many men that are not being the leaders in their homes, not setting the example, not being kind, not being respectful, not being tolerant and patient and persevering with their wives. Yes, but there are also women out there that are first waiting to be put on a pedestal before they are prepared to provide the comfort and the peace and the tranquility. So we need to understand, we mustn't put the cart before the horse. And it's a give and take. It's a give and take. But I think it's important to go to this ayat for us to understand what are the primary roles of men and women in society. Especially when we come together in marriage. I think we've lost that. We've absolutely lost that. Alhamdulillah, it is still there here and there. But today, and we are largely to blame as well. Why? Because we are now thinking, instead of preparing our daughters to become wives, we are preparing them to become doctors and lawyers and accountants, independent. Look after themselves. And a lot of the time, when they do eventually find husbands, and they want to wear the pants, and the husband also wants to wear the pants, because he doesn't want to put on a skirt. I mean, he can put on a thobe, we don't mind that, but... And the marriage doesn't work out. So we need to be, basically, we need to go back to basics. And our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best of examples. Salawatu Rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. He said, the best of you are those who are best to their wives, and I am the best to my wives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants our father Adam alayhi salam, grants him this partner, لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا, to find comfort in her. And then it says, فَلَمَّا تَغَشَّاهَا حَمَلَتْ حَمْلًا خَفِيفًا فَمَرَّتْ بِهِ. And when he basically, تَغَشَّاهَا means that he had intimacy with her. When he had intimacy with her, she became pregnant and she carried it lightly. She became pregnant and she carried it lightly. I'm sure the sisters at the back there are probably thinking to themselves, well, you know, it's easy for a man to say carried it lightly. You know, no man has ever been pregnant and can never understand the labor and the pain of pregnancy. But subhanAllah, look how Allah has honored woman through that. That he has placed the Jannah of the child under her feet. Not at, that's an incorrect translation. Al-Jannatu tahta aqdam al-ummahat. Paradise lies under the feet of the mothers. So any child wants to get to Jannah, they have to uplift their mothers. Any child wants to get to Jannah? Allah's ordering the men in the Quran, be kind to your wives. The Prophet is saying the best of you are those who are best to their wives. And then the Prophet is telling the children that if you want to go to Jannah, you have to who? You have to do what? You have to honor your mother. You have to elevate her. In fact, she must be your best companion. What did a Sahabi ask? He's asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man ahaqqu bi husni sahabati?" Who is the one that has the most right over my good companionship? So he said, "Ummuk, your mother." And he said, "Thumma man, then who? Ummuk, your mother. Thumma man, then who? Ummuk, your mother. Thumma man, then who? Abuka, your father." You know, so we come fourth place. Mother, 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 father. So no woman in Islam can who believes in Allah and the last day can claim that women have been given a raw deal. You know, they come last in the queue. There's no honor, there's no reverence, there's no respect for women. Exact opposite. In fact, when the Prophet when he came in the 7th century of the Common Era, you know, women had no rights. Women were considered just to be as objects of desire and lust, and almost as property of a man. And Islam came to liberate her from that. I mean, Islam at every junction liberated her from that, but mankind always strayed from the path. Alhamdulillah for the favor of Islam, and enough favor it is for us. So alhamdulillah, from this we see the beautiful design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the purpose of our father being given our mother, created from her, from his rib, in order that he might find repose and peace and tranquility in her. And then together, they showed affection to one another. Anasatu wa anasaha. In the hadith, she showed affection to him and he showed affection to her. And so now he's not alone anymore. And he's in the garden. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, Ya Adamu uskun anta wa zawjukal jannah. Oh Adam, uskun. Now, here again, the scholars, you know, at just about every junction, we find all these different opinions. You know, is Allah speaking about the station of Iblis, or he's speaking about the place where Iblis was? That's one difference. The other difference we spoke about, or in this particular one, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, uskun, live in the garden. He says, uskun anta wa zawjukal jannah. Live, O Adam, live you and your zawj, your partner, your wife, live in the Jannah. Does that mean go to the Jannah? Or does that mean stay in the Jannah? Where was Adam? Was he anywhere but in the Jannah? I'm just saying the Jannah, the garden. Where was he? I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي السَّمَاءِ خَلِيفَةً. Indeed, I am making in the earth a khalifa. So we don't know of him being anywhere but in the Jannah. It wasn't like he was created somewhere and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him to the Jannah. There's no evidence for that. There is no evidence for that. So if we just take this word uskun, which means to be still, literally, one of the four types of tafsir that we have is tafsir ta'lamuhu al-arab min lughatiha, a tafsir that the Arabs know because it's their language. And sakana yaskunu uskun means to be still. And it also means to live, to stay. So I'm inclined towards the opinion that Adam was already in the Jannah. I'm not speaking about the Jannah of the hereafter. I'm just saying Al-Jannah, the garden. Wherever that garden was, I'm inclined towards the opinion that it wasn't the garden of the hereafter. Because the garden of the hereafter, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hijr, لا يمسهم فيها نصب وما هم منها بمخرجين. That in the Jannah of the hereafter, and you see if it goes back here, yes. إن المتقين في جنات وعيون. Indeed, those who are mindful of Allah, they will be in gardens, وعيون, and springs. They will be in gardens and springs. أدخلوها بسلام. Enter it with peace. آمينين, safe. ونزعنا ما في صدورهم من غل إخوانا على سر متقابلين. And we removed from their hearts any hatred or deceit or envy of one another. Brothers reclining on couches. لا يمسهم فيها نصب. They will not be afflicted with any exhaustion. وما هم منها بمخرجين. Nor will they ever leave it. Nor will they ever leave it. So once you enter the Jannah of the hereafter, you will never leave the Jannah of the hereafter. So, just something to think about. And yet, majority of the scholars say, no, it is the Jannah of the hereafter. And it actually boils down to a grammatical debate. But again, there are very strong opinions that it's not the Jannah of the hereafter. You can incline towards any opinion that you choose. I'm inclined towards the opinion that it wasn't the Jannah of the hereafter. Another proof is that there's a hadith Qudsi. عَدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. I have prepared for my servants of delight, meaning in the Jannah of the hereafter, that which no eye has ever seen, and that which no ear has ever heard, and that which no heart, and he says here, وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, and has not been imagined by the heart of any Bashar. What is Bashar? Adam is Abul Bashar, isn't he? The father of man. So in the Hadith Qudsi, Allah is saying, I've prepared for my servants in the hereafter that which no eye has ever seen, that which no ear has ever heard, and that which hasn't been imagined by any human being. So the garden that Adam was in, how could he have been seeing, smelling, touching, and tasting the fruits of the hereafter, when no human being has ever seen them, ever heard the sounds of the Jannah, or ever imagined the delights of the Jannah of the hereafter? In fact, I think I've mentioned five positions, but briefly, we'll read through, and we're busy with the book. It's actually, I don't see anybody got the book, but for your own reference, this is Qasas al-Nabiyyin, The Stories of the Prophets by Ibn Kathir. Very authentic. And provides all the proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah. A nice book to have on your shelf at home, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Right. So, Adam and his wife, Adam's been alone in the Jannah, in the garden, wherever it is. We don't know. Wherever it is. Allah gives him a wife, our mother Hawa alayhi salam. And then Allah tells Adam, stay, you and your wife, stay in the garden. Stay in the garden and eat. Eat. Eat to your heart's content. وَكُلَا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ. Just get the eye in front of me here. Yeah, this is now, remember it's in these, yes, fadal. Yes. Or the no, no. Yeah. Where the garden was, maybe. Where the garden was. We're talking about time here. Now somebody said the other day, time is the story and we are the characters. Yes. Yeah. Well, in fact, there's been scholars, scientists that have actually done some very interesting research based on the verses in the Old Testament of Genesis, looking at the Pisan and the Jihan and the Hedekel and all these four different rivers. And they came up with a conclusion. Obviously, we don't take that as a source of knowledge. I mean, the Prophet said, "Hadithu an Bani Israel wala haraj." You know, speak about Bani Israel and their scriptures, no problem. La tusaddiqum wa la tukadhibum. Don't believe them nor belie them. Because the Torah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran, is a book from Allah. Although the one that they have, or what's left thereof, the oral Torah, which is the Mishnah, and the tafsir, which is the Gemara, which is basically the redaction was completed in about 500 of the Common Era. They started basically writing it down at 150 of the Common Era and completed the redaction. The Jerusalem Gemara and Mishnah and the Babylonian Mishnah, was completed around about 500. So from the time of Nabi Musa, who received the Torah, many things were changed. You know, there's been things have been added, things have been removed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran, يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ أَمَّ وَاضِعِهِ. But yet, there still remains. I mean, Isaiah 45 and 46, I am God, there are none else but me. We have the same verse in the Quran. أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا أَنَا اللَّهُ, I am God, لَا إِلَهَ, there is no God, إِلَّا أَنَا, except me. You know, so the Huda and the Nur, the guidance and the light, still remains in some of the passages there. We can't reject everything. So whatever we read in those scriptures, that, and we have what the Quran is, the Muhaymin. Wa Muhayminan alayh. What is a Muhaymin? A Muhaymin, if you have a production line, who's the last person to handle the goods before they get put in the box? Quality controller. So the Quran is the Muhaymin. It's the Furqan. It's also the Muhaymin. Furqan, it's the criterion, differentiate between truth and falsehood. وَمَا قَتَلُوا وَمَا صَلَبُوا. They killed him not, nor did they crucify him. In the Bible, in the New Testament, they're saying they crucified him. Even though at the most important junction, they all forsook him and fled. There were no eyewitnesses. وَمَا قَتَلُهُ يَقِينًا. Allah says, they killed him not for certainty. إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ. They only followed conjecture. So what's the Quran doing? The Quran is now doing a quality check here. Quality of the information. The Quran is saying, no, he wasn't crucified. He wasn't killed, nor is he crucified. No matter what they are saying, he wasn't killed, nor was he crucified. I mean, you'd be surprised some of the things that are in the Old Testament about the prophets. They accused Nabi Nuh of drinking, wal'iyadu billah. Of Nabi Lut alayhi salam sleeping with his daughters, wal'iyadu billah. Of Nabi Sulaiman worshipping idols, wal'iyadu billah. We seek refuge in Allah from this falsehood, from this corruption. So we have the Quran to sort out the truth from the falsehood. So that which is in conformity with the Muhaymin of the Quran, that quality control of the Quran, because the Quran is protected by Allah. Nobody can corrupt it. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun. We have revealed this revelation, and we are the protectors thereof. So the Quran is protected by Allah. The covenant with the previous nations and the scriptures that they received was that they had to look after the scripture. What did they do? They changed it. فَوَيْلُ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ لِيَشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. So woe be to those who write the book with their own hands and then sell it for a miserable price. Another verse, يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ. They corrupt the text. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ. They corrupt the words. عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ. Taking it out of its context. So this happened over a period of time. So I was mentioning about Genesis, what they speak about the location of the Garden of Eden. Of the Garden of Eden. Now we're not even saying that this is Jannah to Aden. Aden, Eden, Aden. You know? And in actual fact, something I made mention of the other day is that the Jews believe in a Firdaus A'la and a Firdaus Adana. Aden, Aden. Adana, that's with the alif. Aden with the ayn. Aden, that is, we have in Yemen, the port of Aden. You know? But we have Jannah to Aden in the hereafter. Jannah to Aden, the garden of Aden. Whereas the Jews believe in a Firdaus A'la, which is for the hereafter, paradise, the high paradise. And in the low paradise, Al Firdaus Al Adana. The lowest paradise, which is the Garden of Eden. So I don't know if they're referring to that Aden, Eden. I'm just, you know, interesting. And Firdaus in Persian means a walled garden. So these researchers, and it's just interesting information, we're not believing it nor belying it. We're not believing it, nor are we belying it. It's just interesting information that these scholars have now done research and discovered that a great probability is that this garden, based on the description in Genesis, which the Jews call Bereshit in Hebrew, in Genesis, based on the source of these four rivers, that the garden was on a mountain in eastern Turkey, on a mountain near Mount Ararat in eastern Turkey. In fact, there's a famous place there, what's it called? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I met somebody from that place some time ago in Turkey. And this is where they speak about this elevated, based on the natural topography of the area. It acts as almost like a walled garden. But like you rightly ask, is that garden still there? No, it's not. There's a town there now. That's right. On Mount Judi. No. On Mount Judi. There's difference of opinion about that on Mount Judi. But, So Nabi Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to stay in the garden, wherever this garden was, and to eat. Ya Adam uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannata, fakula min haythu shi'tuma. Eat from wherever you like. Eat from wherever you like. Wa la taqaraba. And here, the alif here, shi'tuma taqaraba, is referring to the dual. It's referring to the dual because they are two. So Allah is commanding them both at the same time. It says, and do not eat or even come near to the tree. The tree. Fatakuna min al-zalimin, because then you will be of the oppressors. That's in Surah Al-Baqarah. In Surah Al-A'raf, فَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمْ That is Surah Al-A'raf. Surah Al-Baqarah, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ وَكُلَ مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ شَجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Yeah, that's interesting. In this one, it is Wakula. And in Surah Al-A'raf, it's Fakula. Wakula and eat. Fakula, so eat. So in actual fact, the fa here is called fa'u ta'qib. So, Ya Adam uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannata fakula. Fakula, that is in Surah Al-A'raf. In other words, immediately after this command, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them the permission to eat from whatever they liked except ash-shajara, except the tree. So this is the forbidden tree. What tree is it? Well, the ulama have spoken about that tree. Let's look at what they say. وَقَدْ اِخْتَلَفَ الْمُفَسِّرُونَ فِي قَوْلِ تَعَالَى وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ But approach not this tree. It has been said that it is referring to a vine tree. A vine. You know, a vine is basically where grapes, from where people can either make grape juice or wine. This opinion has also been reported from Ibn Abbas, Sa'id ibn Jubair, and others. The Jews have claimed that it is referring to wheat. Referring to wheat. In Arabic, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, let me just get this here. Al-Himta. وتزعم اليهود أنها الحنطة. And the Jews have said that it was wheat. وهذا مروي عن ابن عباس والحسن البصري ووهب بن منبى وعطية العوفي. The Jews have claimed that it's referring to wheat. وهب بن منبى has said that its seeds are softer than butter and sweeter than honey. Abu Malik has suggested that it was a palm tree. Ibn Juraij has reported from Mujahid that it was a fig tree. This was also the opinion of Qatada and Ibn Juraij. Abu Al-Aliya has said that the tree was such that if anybody ate from it, he excreted and it was not befitting to excrete in paradise. These are just the opinions of the scholars. There's absolutely no evidence to back up any of these statements whatsoever. These are just, this is ijtihad. You know, when these scholars are scholars that have, you know, studied almost every aspect that could be studied in those days of the deen. Quran, hadith, language, you name it. Usul, usul al-fiqh, usul al-deen, you name it. So when a scholar reaches that position, then he uses his, but he's not infallible. So he's just using his opinion. Correct opinion. Correct opinion in the sense that he can make istinbat. He can extract. From the knowledge that he has, he can. It doesn't mean that he's right. Because the Prophet said. No. Correct opinion doesn't mean that the opinion itself is correct. But it is permissible, it is correct for him to give an opinion. If he is right, he gets two rewards. The Prophet said in the hadith, Al-mujtahid idha asaba falahu ajran. The mujtahid, if he's right, then he gets two rewards. Wa in akhta'a falahu ajr. And if he's wrong, he gets one reward. For the fact that he made all the effort to acquire the knowledge and attempt to come up with an opinion that could be correct. Does that make sense? So, we don't know what the tree was. These are all the different opinions. And look at the last opinion. Because in the last opinion, that scholar believes it's the Jannah of the hereafter. So whatever they were eating, they weren't excreting. Which doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm inclined towards the idea that, I mean, They've been created for the earth. إِنِّي جَعَلُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً They're eating from... He's a human being. He's eating. There's no evidence that he wasn't excreting. I mean, this is one of the proofs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to defeat the claims of the Nasara about the divinity of Christ. And of course, as in the Catholic Church, they say that Mary is the mother of God. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that statement. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Mal Masih ibn Maryam illa Rasul. The Messiah, the son of Mary, is nothing save a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ. They have come messengers before him. وَأُمُّهُ الصِّدِّيقَةُ. And his mother was a saintly woman. كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. They both ate food. And any human being, from Adam all the way to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and beyond, until the last hour, every human being, prophet or non-prophet, eats, sleeps, goes to the toilet, and behaves like every other human being in that way. In that way. The difference between the Anbiya and the rest of mankind is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them essential qualities. They don't lie, they don't commit sin, they are wise and intelligent, and those who are messengers from amongst those prophets don't withhold anything of their message. But otherwise, besides that, they are human beings. Yes. Exactly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us like that. وَمَا جَعَلْنَاهُمْ جَسَدًا لَا يَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامِ وَمَا كَانُوا خَالِدِينَ. That's a description of the Anbiya. Let me just get the reference of that verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have not made them men that don't eat food. وَمَا جَعَلْنَاهُمْ. Here we go. وَمَا جَعَلْنَاهُمْ جَسَدًا لَا يَأْكُلُونَ طَعَامٍ وَمَا كَانُوا خَالِدِينَ. This is Surah Al-Anbiya, the chapter of the prophets, verse number 8. In verse number 7, Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have not sent before you except men. In other words, there were no female prophets. And that is not a bad reflection on women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given men certain attributes in order to fulfill certain roles and functions, and from whom he selected the Anbiya, the male species. And women have been given other attributes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose not to give nubuwa to women, but he gave it to men. Allah a'lam mimma la na'lam. Allah knows that which we do not know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anbiya, the chapter of the prophets, verse number 7, and we did not send before thee, O Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except men that we revealed to. Fas'alu ahla dhikri, ask those who know. إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, if you don't know. وَمَا جَعَلْنَاهُمْ جَسَدًا لَا يَأْكُلُونَ طَعَامٍ, and we didn't make them bodies that didn't eat food. We didn't make them bodies. So they didn't have supernatural bodies. They weren't like superhuman. If we have an understanding or an imagination of what it means to be superhuman. So we didn't make them bodies that didn't eat food. وَمَا كَانُوا خَالِدِينَ, and we never made them immortal. Death has been written for all of them. And that's why we believe Isa will come back to die. Alayhi salam. Nabi Isa will come back to die. He is human. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I am nothing, because innama literally is without any exception. And the understanding of that is that it is nothing, or I am nothing, or he is nothing except. So innama ana basharun mithlukum. I am nothing but a human being like yourselves. It's important for us to, and this is part of the what makes Muhammad so special, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not that he was superhuman or or unlike a human. No, he was human, like you and I are human. But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most humblest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. And that's why he's the best of Allah's creation. Man tawada'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. Not because he had a special digestive system, you know, that he could fly, or and if he performed any miracles, just like Nabi Isa alayhi salam, or just like Nabi Musa alayhi salam, or like Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, he only performed them, and they only performed them through the leave and the power and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the previous Anbiya, as elements of persuasion, that the people of their time might believe in their message. For Muhammad, he was given miracles for his contemporaries, and he was given the eternal miracle of the Holy Quran, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he was still a human being. Even with the miracles, they were still human beings. The poet says about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammadun basharun laysa kalbashari, bal huwa yaqutatun wal nasu kalhajari. Muhammad is a man like no other man. Indeed, he is a diamond or an emerald, and men are like stones. I think it's a nice, yes. There is a narration to that effect. Allahu alam. Allah knows best. So the idea of Nabi Adam being in the garden with Hawa alayhi salam and eating and not excreting, there's no... Unless you believe that it was the Jannah of the hereafter. Because then nobody will be going to the toilet in the Jannah of the hereafter. But I think we've looked at some of the evidences, and I'm inclined towards the opinion it wasn't the Jannah of the hereafter. Allah didn't say, I'm going to make a vicegerent in the heavens. He said, I'm going to make a vicegerent on the earth. We've run out of time now, I see. I'll just take it. Conclude, inshallah ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, stay in the garden where Allah created Adam, gave him his wife Hawa. Stay here, eat from whatever you want, but don't come near the tree, because then you will be of the wrongdoers. We don't exactly know what that tree was. The ulama have different opinions. All these different opinions are similar to each other, says Ibn Kathir. However, it should be noted that Allah did not specify the nature of this tree and left many details vague. Had there been any benefit of knowing these details, he would have specified them for us, as he has done so with various other things in the Quran. There is another difference of opinion concerning the whereabouts of the paradise mentioned in the verse, which is situated in the heavens or on earth. And I think he sums it up here at the end. About the five different opinions. But inshallah ta'ala, we can leave that for next time, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So inshallah, forgive me for any shortcomings. I greet you now. Ekas husayl di omense, ekas mushafi, nadi huga baytullah. So I'll be leaving on Saturday, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. I ask you to make dua for all the hujjaj. There's going to be an extra 500,000 hujjaj this year. So it's going to be quite a tight squeeze. I believe in some of the camps they've put double bunks in Mina. Sorry? Yes, our quota increased, I think, by 40%. We had 2,500, and they gave us an extra 1,000. So if you take that across the board, we're looking at an extra between 450,000 to 500,000 hujjaj. So make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and grant us all the health and strength to perform all our obligations. And for those assisting and guiding the hujjaj, Allah grant us ikhlas, sincerity, and accept from all of us. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Bi-barakati surat al-Fatiha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdu rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wa mursaleen. Nabina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم اكتب الصحة والسلام لنا ولعبيدك الحجاج والمسافرين والمرابطين في برك وبحرك وجوك من أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم سهل لهم الطريق والرفيق ونجهم من شر التعويق. اللهم هون عليهم السفر وتعنهم البعد. اللهم أنت صاحب في السفر والخليفة في الأهل. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من وأثاء السفر وكآبة المنظر وسوء المنقلب في المال والأهل والولد. اللهم أوصلهم إلى مكة المكرمة وإلى المدينة المنورة سالمين غانمين مستبشرين مع صحة والسلامة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اجعل حجهم حج مبرورة وسعيهم سعي مشكورة وذنوبهم ذنوب مغفورة وأعمالهم أعمالا صالحة مقبولة وتجارتهم تجارة لن تبور. يا نور النور يا عالم ما في الصدور أخرجنا يا الله من الظلمات إلى النور. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. But then I'm gonna stand up. Now I'm gonna stand up. You guys there? Maybe help me.
They said that when I'm 40, then I need a hip replacement.